Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam and find out what it means to be a true Navi. Halavai, we should be zocha to Navoah. Okay, let's go back to this Medrash. We read it at the very end last time, but let's just go back a little bit. The Medrash was describing the difference between, again, the Perek is primarily about the Navoah of Moshe Rabbeinu and why Moshe was miuchad in his ability to receive the Torah and how that's connected to Moshe's unique Madrega as a Navi. Right? I guess if we had to pick the indications in the Torah that make Moshe unique, it's the fact that the Torah describes his humility, and the fact that the Torah describes that there'll never be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. But we know this unusual Chazal, that there's no one amongst the Jewish people like Moshe Rabbeinu, but there is someone amongst the nations of the world kind of like Moshe Rabbeinu, sort of the Zelu Umazzeh, the spiritual opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu in Nevuah, and that's Bilam HaRasha. So we were describing that even though, you know, on a certain level, Bilam is the parallel in the Umos HaOlam of Moshe Rabbeinu amongst Klal Yisrael, there have to be some basic differences between them. Okay, so let's go back to this Medrash. Medrash, Ma bein Nevi'ei Yisrael and Nevi'ei Umos HaOlam. Right? What's the difference between a Jewish prophet and a prophet amongst the Umos HaOlam, amongst the Akum, amongst the Ovdei Kochavim Umazalos? Nevi'ei Umos HaOlam ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nigla aleihem rach b'chatzi dibur. When Hashem reveals Himself and speaks, communicates to a non-Jewish prophet, Hashem does so b'chatzi dibur, with only half a message. What does that mean, half a message? Shenemar v'yikar Elokim el Bilam. That Hashem happened upon Bilam. Hashem happened upon Bilam. Bilam was, so to speak, in the right place, sort of, at the right time, and he kind of overheard a message that Hashem had for the world. And we'll explain with a beautiful mashal tonight a little more what that means. Ein lashon v'yikar el lashon toma. V'yikar means, right, mikra, chance, happenstance, but it's also a lashon of v'yikar, a lashon of carry, a lashon of toma. That Bilam's prophecy was a tomei prophecy, which of course leads to the question, which we'll talk about tonight, which is prophecy is a very holy thing. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the root of all Kedusha, send a prophecy into the world of Tumah? If to grapple with that question. I guess it's not all that different than how could God, who's perfect, create an imperfect world. But okay, we'll have to deal with that. So Vayikar is the Lashon of Tumah. K'mo da'at amar, like it says, ki yebucha ish lo tahor mikra layla. Okay, so Vayikar is the Lashon of Keri, a Lashon of Tumah. Aval Yisrael b'Lashon Tara. But when Hashem talks to a Jewish prophet, he does so in a way of purity, b'lashon kedusha, b'lashon birur, in a way that is barur, in a way that is clear, that is precise. And that's why by Moshe, it doesn't say vayikar, Hashem didn't happen to speak to Moshe, but vayikra el Moshe, Hashem called out to Moshe directly, b'lashon shemalachi asharis makalsin, in the way that the angels praise, which again is a way of great kedusha, v'kara ze el ze ad kan. Okay, so that's our Medrash. So let's dissect this Medrash a little bit. Let's try to understand again the differences between the prophecy of Moshe and the prophecy of Bilam. So first and foremost, what is the idea of a tamei nevuah? Ubiur ze ki nevuas umas haolam akum eina nevuah bebiur gamur. So first and foremost, the fact that a non-Jewish prophet, when he receives his nevuah, is not bebiur gamur. It's not absolutely clear. It's not absolutely clear. You know, it's like a person who, as we'll see, it's like a person who has enough information to be able to make certain predictions. If you remember, we gave the mashal last time, the Medrash brought, that it's like the king's, you know, it's like the king's chef who's able to kind of predict what kind of food the king is in the mood for. It's not that he's a prophet, it's just that he has a knowledge, he has access to the king on a certain level, that he's able to figure certain things out, right? It doesn't mean that necessarily he's in direct contact with the king. He has a certain insight because of his position in the kitchen. He knows what the king likes to order. Again, we'll come back to that mashal again in a little bit. But the idea that the prophecy that's being received by the Umas HaOlam is an avuah that's ain a babir or gomer. It's not absolutely clear. It's imperfect. Ulefichach zivayikar shehu chatzi dibur bavad. Right? It's a partial statement. It's a partial declaration. It's a partial revelation. Kefi mashehi anavua she'ena birogamer, a nevuah that lacks again that absolute clarity, that characterizes the nevuah. Let's say all the more so of Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Jewish prophets, but all the more so Moshe Rabbeinu. Vanavua hi betuma, and this type of navua is a tamei dika navua. Afsha Hashem yisparach kadosh udvarv kadoshim. So now again, you'll be bothered by the question. I don't understand. If we believe that Hashem is kadosh, and a kadosh baruch hu, everything about Hashem is kedusha, right? So how does that work? So afsha Hashem yisparach kadosh. Hashem is holy. Hashem's words are holy. So how does this work? Neviyei umas ha'olam makalim hadibor, afim heim tameim. Yet somehow, a Navi of the nations of the world, who's a Tamei person, we know Chazal described to us a glimpse into the private life of Bilam, and he's far from a holy person, and yet somehow he's able to receive a pure Nevuah of Hashem. He's able to receive the Dvar Hashem. If Hashem himself is Kadosh and Tahor, so how does a Tamei person receive? Ve'ein tzrichim kedusha v'tara. And this Navi of the Umas Ha'olam doesn't need the Kedusha and Tahor that we would assume would be a prerequisite for receiving a Nevuah of Hashem. So he says, you know what it's like? He says, Doma, it's a mashal, Doma lemisha mashlech memenu dinar zahav. Imagine a person, he takes a golden coin, and he throws it. Why he's throwing it, I'm not sure. He has a desire to throw a gold coin. Right? He's a very wealthy person, he decides to take a golden coin, and he just throws it. And he's eino makbid afim nofal ashpa. When he throws this gold coin, he's not makbid about where it lands. Sometimes it'll land in a clean place. Sometimes it'll land in a garbage dump. It'll land in an ashpa, in a garbage heap. Sometimes he'll throw the coin, right, and it'll land on the grass. Sometimes it'll fall down a grade and end up in the sewer. Ki ein kavanasa rak lahashlech mimenu hadinar yipo b'chol makom. He doesn't really care where the money lands. He just wants to throw the money, right? He wants to put it out there, and if someone happens to be in the right place at the right time, they'll be the one to catch it. Again, I don't know exactly what this mashal is, the person who's mashlech menu dinar zav, but the point that he's trying to make is Hashem could send something down to this world, and if a Jewish person, if a prophet who's prepared to receive it in the right way catches it, it'll be received in one way, but sometimes it'll land in a garbage dump. Bilam had enough access, enough knowledge. Again, he was a wise person. He was a person who had a certain koach in Tuma to be able to, you know, to pick up on the right radio channel to kind of hear the Dvar Hashem, even though he was on a objective level unworthy of it. Kach Hashem yisbach eino chafitz, kashem redaber im navi umas ha'olam, rak sheyetze ha'dibor mimenu. In other words, Hashem wants to send a message. He doesn't really care how the Navi of the Umas Ha'olam is going to receive it. I guess the part I'm struggling with this mashal is like, so why would Hashem allow that though? Right? Meaning Hashem is saying, listen, I have to get a message to the world. I don't really care how it gets to the world, as long as it gets to the world. As long as it gets to the world. I don't really care who receives it. I would think Hashem would care who receives it. I don't have any insight onto this. I'm not fully... Right, Yavol Makabel Afetuma, the receiver will receive it by Shahu Sham. So if the receiver is a righteous recipient, right, even in a certain way, if Vayikar, if he just happens to be in the place when the king throws the coin out his window, and that person happens to be standing on the side of the king's, catches the gold coin, it doesn't mean that he has a close relationship with the king. It just means the right place at the right time. Okay, anyone have any thoughts on this? Any insights? It's an interesting mashal. I don't know that I fully get why Hashem is so casual about kind of throwing out his nevuah to the world, wherever it lands. Right? I'm not sure why that would be. Again, it's the difference between is it about getting the message out, a particular message, regardless of who is going to deliver that message, versus it's not just about giving over a message, but it's about giving it to a certain person, being connected to that person. So when Hashem speaks through the Umas Ha'olam, Hashem just wants to get the message out, he doesn't really care, right? I guess like this philanthropist, right, has a competition to give away a large sum of money. It could be a very worthy recipient will sign up and win, it could be a very unworthy person. Either way, the philanthropist is able to show, I'm a wealthy person who wants to give to others, even if it ends up in the hands of someone who's not particularly worthy. That's kind of the way that Hashem gives over messages to the Umas Ha'olam. But when Hashem speaks to Klal Yisrael, when he's medaber im Nevi'ei Yisrael, nisiach irim o hadibor, then there's a yichud, there's a connection, right? There's a dveikus, there's a relationship. And again, this goes back to really our opening theme of the whole Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, that when we study Torah, it's not just about absorbing the facts or the ideas, but it's about the relationship that accompanies it. So when Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's about a relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'zeh ikur dibur yisbarach shemidabur hu yisbarach al anaviyim v'nisiyachet imahem hadibur. When Hashem communicates to the Jewish prophets, it's about the fact that I want to speak to you. I'm not just trying to get a message out, and I don't really care who delivers the message, but I want to deliver a message, I want to share something with you. Ein roi shia etzem dibur yisbarach betumah. And because of the relationship, because of the context in which it's being shared, it requires a certain prerequisites. It requires a certain kedusha. It requires a certain hachana on the part of the Navi. And therefore, when Hashem communicates with Nevi'ah Yisrael, there are more prerequisites, right? There are more expectations. Because again, it's not just about the message. It's about the way that Hashem is connecting to the Navi at the time he's giving over that message. So now we can understand Masha Amru Aval Nevi'ah Umasa Olam Akum Kam. When we said that there's no one, when the Medrash says there's no one amongst the Jewish people like Moshe Rabbeinu, but amongst Umasa Olam there is someone like Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean, someone like Moshe Rabbeinu? In what sense like Moshe Rabbeinu? Hainu d'mikol makom haisa nevuah shelo b'chisaron uvetumah. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense that he also got big messages. But it's totally unlike Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense that it was lacking in hachana, it was lacking in kedusha, and it was a nevuah that was received b'tumah. Va'afim haya gadol b'nevuah ma'od, even though, again, the revelation itself, the idea that was being shared was very lofty. Bilam had access to see very deep things. Kevin shenevuah so haisa b'chisaron uvetumah, but since the nevuah was received in a way of lack, of tumah, of some type of void, some type of imperfection, einza mailas hanevuah. So in other words, again, it's like two people who have the same, you know, the same item, right? But they came to it in very different ways. Moshe and Bilam both had the same facts. They had the same knowledge. They saw similar things, right? But in terms of the quality of the relationship with that idea, Moshe's was totally different. Bilam had the knowledge, but he received it in a very deceptive, a very imperfect, a very impure way. Moshe Rabbeinu had that access, had that knowledge, but in a way that he had earned it, in a way that was reflective of his holiness. Kimailas hanavua kasher hi bekedusha uvetara uvebiur. Because again, the quality, the maila of nevua, true prophecy, is in accordance with its holiness and its purity and its clarity. V'lo amru b'nevi'ei umas ha'olam akum kam rak shehai yodeya dvar melyonu. So when we say that there was someone, a parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu amongst umas ha'olam, it's simply the fact that he was Yodeya Dvar Melyonim. He had the knowledge. It's like a hacker who hacks into an account. So he's got access to the information now, but he doesn't belong there. He snuck in. Right? He doesn't. He happens to know. He cracked the code. He's got the codes that the highest people in the company have access to. Right? But that doesn't mean he's their equal. He may be equal in their knowledge because he's gained access to the system. But he's not a worthy partner in that knowledge, in that relationship. V'kasher tavin divrei emes, so when we understand this idea with clarity and we understand it well, that again, when we say Moshe and Bilam are equals, it's equal on a very specific level. Teidas, and now we come to understand, ki masha yodeya Moshe b'nevua, u'masha lo hayodeya. When we gave the examples that Moshe was panim al panim, and Moshe was peh al peh, and Moshe was able to stand, and Bilam wasn't able to, and that we described, the Medrash described certain qualities that Bilam had. When we talk about what they knew or what they didn't know, well, Moshe was yodeya, Moshe lo ay yodeya, hakol nimshach acher etzem hamayla b'nevua, shayel l'moshe. Right? It was all an indication, the strengths, the quality of Moshe's prophecy, panim al panim, peh al peh, standing as opposed to collapsing on his face. All of that speaks to the essential quality, the etzem hamayla nevuah, the essential quality of Moshe's prophecy. Umashai yodea bilam b'nevuah, and that which we describe certain qualities that seem to set Bilam apart, umasha lohay yodea, hakol nimshach mimasha lohay le Bilam hamayla al yona shahay le Moshe. That's all, again, while it looks like a quality on a certain level, it's all rooted in the fact that he lacked certain things that Moshe Rabbeinu had. So let's get into those things for a second. Let's review the list. Let's try to explain them a little bit. V'zeh kimasha hayomedaver Moshe ponim el ponim. Again, the way that Hashem spoke to Moshe, ponim el ponim, peh el peh, standing as opposed to falling down. Shaya Moshe omedim Hashem yisparach. Right? All of this is an expression of what? Hakol hu hakirov v'hadibuk imo. It wasn't, again, just about giving Moshe. But Hashem says, Moshe, I want you to stand with me. Moshe, I want to speak to you that's face to face. I want the language to be peh peh. I want the type of conversation that we have to be much more intimate. Ubilam shalo hayalozeh. Bilam, who didn't have this, all the qualities that Bilam had, well, again, it was access that he had, but moral harichok men Hashem yisparach. They're all indicators. The fact that he couldn't stand in receiving the nevuah implies, again, a certain, like Rashi says about Avram Avinu, before Avram had a bris milah, Avram also couldn't stand to receive the nevuah. Lacking bris means lacking kedusha, lacking tara. So Bilam, yes, Bilam was able, again, to have the info, but the fact that he received it in his way is all indicative of a certain richuk, a certain distancing that he had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't, he lacked that same closeness that Moshe had. U'masha lo hayodea Moshe adibor kodam shabai elav adibor. And that which Moshe did not receive the Dibor prior to it being given to him, right? And Bilam, we said, almost had like advanced access. That's not really a Mila. Because again, it's like the hacker who hacks into the system and is able to what? To get access to information before it's properly transmitted to the person who it's supposed to be given to. So the fact that he has early access, that's not a Mila. That doesn't imply that he's worthy. It just means that he has certain kochos to gain access. And the fact that Hashem doesn't speak to Moshe whenever he wants. And Bilam has, again, has advanced access, right? Has more regular access. Again, that's not a Mila. That's not a Mila. The depth of a relationship requires what? Times of closeness and times of separation. So the fact that Bilam is, again, seemingly exploiting the system, those are not real milas in terms of nevuah. And again, the fact that Moshe didn't have a full grasp at times exactly who is speaking to him, again, that's because he's able to be so close to Hashem that he's seeing Hashem. And that's a blinding light. And that's hard to process. But again, that's an indication of the mila of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shukol nevuas Moshe, nevuah berura. There's a certain clarity, a certain timing that comes with a true nevuah. Kamoshai adibor imo panim el panim pe'al pe'. Lakach lo haisa nevuah aso, rak nevuah brura. So therefore, when Moshe got a nevuah, it wasn't constant. It's not realistic that a person should have a constant nevuah brura. If a person is sneaking and stealing nevuahs, like Bilam, so he can get it early and he can get it as much as he wants, but it's all coming from a channel of tumah. V'ein birur hanevuah rak kishabah hanevuah el hanavi. True, clear, precise nevuah comes when Hashem chooses to give it over to the person. Right? It's a relationship. Shekol davar sheyotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein lo chazara. When it comes truly from Hashem, then there's a certain quality that's lasting. As opposed to a person who takes it for himself, eventually the police are going to come and they're going to try to get it back because this guy stole it. V'davar zeh nikra birur hanevuah. And again, this quality of nevuah is what we call birur hanevuah. Kasher yotze hadibor mipiv, when it comes from a Kodesh Baruch, when Hashem conveys the words, aval sheyeda hadibor kodem shenadaber v'nisbara hanevuah, to try to have early access and at the same time to have this high level of clear nevuah, no such thing. Ein zeh roi l'moshe malaso. That would be degrading for someone of Moshe's standards. Shehaisa kol nevuaso b'inyan habir hagamur. So there's a time, and there's a place, and there's a context, right? Again, the mashal, we'll come back to it again, but the mashal he's about to come back to, we'll do two more minutes just to end. But the mashal, again, of the fellow who's working in the kitchen. So he sees the king's meal, right? He sees the steak when it's still raw. So he's seen the steak from beginning to end, and he sees it before it's served to the king. So you could say, wow, this guy's got, he's got the innermost access to the king's world. Because he's working in the kitchen. The waiter, who's standing by the door and is going to bring it out to serve it to the king, he doesn't know exactly what's going to be served. But when the waiter receives it, it's a proper dish. It's not like the king who's, you know, all dirt, and not like the butcher or the chef in the kitchen, right? Who, again, maybe has a little advanced access, but he doesn't get to serve it to the king in a way that that gives it the full context of, you know, how a meal should be properly offered to a king. But Bilam, who again lacks this quality of clarity, so Bilam knew certain things in a way that almost preceded Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's not really a maila. The fact that Moshe had a delayed access and it came about in the right way at the right time, right? That chisaron is in fact a maila. The Maharal talks about this a lot. That a lack, right? There can be a lack that is in fact a maila. Not having something that you're not supposed to have and then receiving it in the right way, even though you have less of it, but that's actually a maila as opposed to the person who has constant access, and that cheapens the quality of the, or the intimacy of that connection, of that relationship, of that experience. Okay, so let's just end with this, come back to the mashal one more time. V'zeh shehevi mashal min ha-tavach. Again, when we gave the mashal, that Bilam was like the chef in the kitchen. V'zeh ki mashi odeh ha-tavach mashi ochel ha-melech. The butcher who says, I can predict what type of steak the king is going to want to eat tonight. V'osa asher nikra l'shulchan ha-melech eini odeh. And the one who's going to dine with the king, the guest, who the king is inviting to come to the table, right? Again, the chef, he's preparing the menu, he's been thinking about it in advance. If you're a guest at the king's table, you sit down, you don't know what's going to be under that cover when they serve the meal, right? But again, who would you rather be? You'd rather be in the kitchen? You'd rather be invited to sit at the king's table. Because again, the guest at the king's table, he's only invited to the table, right, once the table is properly set. But that's a praise of the guest. That's for the honor of the guest. This is a splendid experience. This is for the honor of the distinguished guest. And he doesn't connect to the king through sort of the back channels, what's happening in the kitchen. And that's a maila, that's an advantage. So when he comes to sit at the king's table, he doesn't know what's on the menu that night. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what Hashem is going to serve him until Hashem is ready to serve him. But again, instead of seeing the raw ingredients, right, before the dish is prepared, Moshe only receives, so to speak, once the dish is prepared. But the fact that Moshe gets the completed dish, that's a maila of Moshe Rabbeinu, not a chisaron. The fact that Bilam saw how it was prepared in the kitchen is part of the degraded status of Bilam. Aval Bilam lo hayelo maila zos, v'lekach yoda nevua kodem shaba hadibor, v'davar ze mevuar. And this idea, again, should be clear to us. So again, the Maharal is just clarifying for us in a very precise way that when Chazal say Lokom bi Yisrael kamosha od, but by the Umas Olam there was someone on the Madrega of Moshe, don't be confused by that. No one was on the Madrega of Moshe. It just means that Bilam had again a tremendous koach, a koach of tuma, which allowed him to have tremendous powers. He was a force to be reckoned with, and he had access to certain knowledge. He was Yodea Das Elyon. He understood certain things that only Moshe Rabbeinu really properly deserved to receive, but Bilam was able to somehow get it. He was somehow able to get it. But let's not make the mistake and think that that makes Bilam a true prophet. True prophecy is context, the right way, the right time, and really an expression of the dveikus that Hashem wants to have with the Navi who he's communicating with. Okay? So we will stop here for tonight. Any questions? Comments?